Today we will continue from Valmiki Ramayan, and now we are in Uttarakhanda 3. So in part 1 of Uttarakhanda, we saw the history of the Rakshasas, and then we saw the prowess of Ravana, the different conquests that Ravana made, the curses that he obtained, and finally we saw the greatness of his son Meghanada. So then after this, Ramchandra asked the sage Agastya to tell him the glories of Lord Hanuman. And that is where we stopped in our previous class, and so we will continue from there. So this will be Uttarakhanda 3, and in today's session, we will cover glories of Lord Hanuman, and we will also see how Sita was actually left in the forest by Lakshmana after a washerman spoke badly about Ram and Sita. So that is what we will be covering in this session. I'll start off with the prayers. Om Ajnanati Nirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitanena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Kirim Yatkrapa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimati Radhanatha Swaminiti Namne Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschayate Deshatarini Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shri Vasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Pujantam Rama Raneti Madhuram Madhuraksharam Aruhya Kavita Shakam Vande Valmiki Kokilam Valmikir Munisimhasya Kavitavanacharinah Shrinvan Ramakatanatham Konayate Paramgatim Vedavedye Parepumse Jate Dasharatatmaje Veda Pracheta Sadasi Sakshat Ramayanatman Anjanarandanam Viram Janaki Shokanashanam Kapisha Makshahantaram Vande Lankabhayankaram Manojavam Maruta Tulyavegam Jitendriyam Buddhi Matam Varishtam Vadatmajam Vanarayudamukyam Shri Ramadutam Shirasa Namami Anjaneya Madipatanalanam Kanchanadri Kamaniya Vigraham Parijata Tarumulavasinam Bhavayani Bhavamananandanam Yatra Yatra Raghunatha Kirtanam Tatra Tatra Krita Mastakanjalim Bhashpavari Paripurna Lochanam Marutim Namata Rakshasantakam Shri Raghavam Dasharatatmajam Apraneyam Sitapatim Raghukulanmaya Ratnadeepam Ajanabahum Arvinda Dayala Daksham Ramam Nishacharam Vinashakam Namami Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we are now in part 3. I think we are back after a very long break in this session. So we'll continue from the question that was asked by Lord Ram. Lord Ram asked Sage Agastya. This whole Uttarakhanda, as we know, is actually a conversation between Ram and Agastya so far. So in part 1 and 2, it was a conversation between Ram and Agastya, and again, it's continuing there. So at this point, Lord Ramchandra, he was questioning Sage Agastya. When Lord Ram heard from Sage Agastya tell him how Vali caught hold of Ravana like a little mouse and kept him in his armpit and jumped from one ocean to the other, and when he heard that, Lord Ramchandra asked Sage Agastya to tell him about Hanuman. He said, you spoke about the greatness of Vali. We covered this in the previous class. So he said, you spoke so much about the greatness of Vali and you spoke so much about the prowess of Ravana. But I know that Hanuman is actually much more stronger and much more capable than Ravana and Vali. And I have seen it myself in many places. So I saw how Hanuman was extremely capable. So you please tell me more about Hanuman. So when requested like this by Lord Ram, Sage Agastya was very, very happy. And he said, Ram, whatever you have told is actually very true. Nobody is equal to Hanuman in his might, in his speed, or his intelligence. But, however, because of a curse that was once pronounced on him, this Hanuman, he forgot all about his extraordinary might. So actually, we have covered the story in short before, but I'll go through it quickly. So there was a great Vanara king in the past by the name Kesari, and his wife's name was the most celebrated Anjana Devi. And the wind god actually impregnated her and she gave birth to Hanuman. Now this pastime is already covered in the previous session. So we'll go to the second half of the pastime, which is discussed in Uttarakhanda. So in the Uttarakhanda, Hanuman's glories, childhood pastimes are described. So Hanuman, he was a very, very sweet and mischievous kid, and he was always very, very hungry. So he was always a hungry boy. And once he was very, very hungry, and he happened to look up into the sky, and he mistook the sun for a very nice, delicious fruit. So seeing this nice, ripened red fruit, Hanuman started jumping into the sky, and he soared up chasing after the sun. So after all, he's the son of the wind god. So he jumped up and he started flying, and he was very busy chasing after the sun. He was extending his arms and he was trying to reach to this beautiful red ripened fruit. So as he was rising up and nearing the sun, he was getting hotter and hotter because he was nearing the sun was burning, and he was getting hotter and hotter, and the wind god covered him with a cool breeze so that it gives protection to him and prevents him from being scorched by the sun's rays. So like this, Hanuman was going towards the sun, and the wind god saw that his little baby is going to get burnt, and he went and he covered him up. And incidentally, that day, it was also the day of an eclipse. Okay, so what happens during the time of an eclipse? Rahu is scheduled to come and swallow the sun at that time. So Rahu now also came there. Okay, he was also proceeding towards the sun because it was an eclipse. At the same time, little Hanuman was flying towards the sun. So when Rahu was coming there to swallow the sun, he saw this little Hanuman coming flying like this. And Rahu got so scared. He's like, what is this new object that is coming flying towards the sun trying to catch the sun? So he got really, really scared, and he ran away from there. And he went and reported this matter to Indra. So Rahu told Indra, what is this? This time is allotted for me. I am Rahu, and I have the right to cover the sun at this time and cause an eclipse. This has been agreed between us. But what is this today? I am seeing another Rahu going towards the sun. Have you given my post to someone else? I am supposed to be the Rahu. What is happening here? Who is this new Rahu who is trying to eat up the sun? When he went and asked Indra like this, Indra was in total awe. And when he heard this report, he immediately sprang up at once from his seat and he said, even I am surprised. I never allotted your job to someone else. And he mounted on his Airavata, which is his elephant, and he put Rahu in his front on Airavata, and they both sped towards the sun to check out who it was. Who was this new Rahu who had come to swallow the sun? So meanwhile, what happened was, as they were reaching towards the sun, Rahu was actually very, very angry that day. So he was in all enthusiasm. He got off Airavata and he started running towards the sun. He started moving forward. Out of anger, he left Indra behind and he started going forward. So he started going off in full speed to check out who this Hanuman was. And he, being Rahu, he was like a huge flying peak mountain, okay? And he was speeding at the spot where Hanuman was nearing the sun. Now what happened? Hanuman, he got diverted seeing this new object flying towards the sun. And Hanuman, with his childlike innocence, he thought, wow, this is an even better fruit. He innocently thought that the old fruit, which is the sun, was just, you know, standing there still. But he was now seeing another fruit that was rolling down. So it was even more interesting because this fruit was in motion. It was like a rolling ball, and this was Rahu. For Hanuman, this also looked like a fruit because Hanuman was a hungry baby. So he was thinking, wow, this is a more interesting fruit. It is even rolling, so I'll go catch this fruit. So Hanuman started chasing after Rahu now. And Rahu was so terrified that what is this boy doing? First he was chasing the sun, now he's coming and chasing me. He got so terrified, he
he ran away for his life and he went shouting to Indra for help. He started shouting, Indra, save me, Indra, save me. So Rahu went and he told Indra, please give me protection. I don't know what's happening here. That new Rahu, the new boy, he was first trying to swallow the sun, but now he's trying to swallow me. So you have to give me protection. And then Indra said, okay, don't worry, Rahu, I will protect you. And then both of them together, they marched forward. And now Hanuman, he saw Indra, Airavata and Rahu coming towards him. Now Hanuman, he became even more excited because what happened? First he saw a red colored fruit. Then he saw a fast moving rolling fruit. Now he saw an elephant sized fruit. He saw Airavata. And Hanuman, with his childlike innocence again, he thought, wow, this is such a huge fruit and this is the best thing for my appetite. So he went to catch Airavata next. So he left behind the sun. He forgot about Rahu and now he went with his mouth open to go and eat Airavata because he was so happy he got such a huge fruit. Now seeing Hanuman rushing towards Airavata, Indra immediately took out his thunderbolt and he hurled it at little Hanuman. So hit by this thunderbolt, Hanuman came crashing down onto the earth and he fell on a mountain and he fell unconscious and confused. And what happened was the left side of his jaw was broken because of the impact of Indra's Vajra, thunderbolt. So that's why he's called as Hanuman. Hanuman means one whose chin is broken. So like this, his chin was broken, the left side of his jaw was broken, and he fell down onto a mountain. Now, seeing that his dear son Hanuman was injured like this, and he was speechless, and he had fallen down on a mountain like this, Vayudeva appeared there. Vayu was so angry. He was so angry to see his baby like this. And he withdrew all his power of air. He withdrew all the vayus that are circulating within all living entities. So although we know prana is one, it actually assumes five forms. It assumes the form of prana, apana, samana, udana, and dhyana. According to the different functions it performs, like the different type of circulation of air. So these five airs, they stopped functioning in all the living beings. And angrily, Vayu took his son in his arms and he entered a cave and he locked himself there. So everyone, because Vayu had withdrawn his energy, everyone felt very choked up. Their joints became stiff. They couldn't do anything. All the three worlds felt like as if it was hell. And all the demigods, they didn't know what to do because this is such a big catastrophe. What has happened? Vayu has withdrawn his power. So all the demigods, the remaining demigods, they all rushed to Brahma and told him about the pitiable condition that they were in. And Brahma on his part, immediately he left for the place where Vayudev was hiding in the cave. Yeah? So Brahma, he entered this cave and he spotted Vayudev and immediately he lifted up Vayudev and Vayudev paid his obeisances to Brahma. And there he saw in the arms of Vayudev little Hanuman. Hanuman was smiling and sitting in the arms of Vayudev. So what happened? Brahma, he lovingly stroked the head of little Hanuman, and Hanuman, who was there in the arms of his father, he just came back to life, you know, full energy and life. He just came back to life, just like how a crop that is almost dried up suddenly comes back to life when it is watered. So like that, Hanuman was all shriveled. He was in the arms of his father and he was there. But when Lord Brahma stroked his head, he got back his complete energy and life and he came up very bright. So seeing that his son was brought back to life by Vayudev, again and again, he was very thankful to Brahma. And he began circulating himself internally within all living entities, and there was a great relief. So then Brahma, he requested all the demigods to confer blessings on their little child
And he told the demigods that this little boy will be helpful in destroying their enemies in the future. And all the demigods, on the order of Brahma, they went forward to bless this little child. So Indra, he placed a garland of lotuses and blessed the child. And he said, since my thunderbolt broke his chin, hereafter he will be known as Hanuman. That means one whose chin is broken. And my thunderbolt hereafter will never harm him. Then the sun god went forward and he blessed the child, saying that he will obtain 1/100 part of my brilliance. And when time comes, I will become his guru and I will teach him all shastras. He will be very, very learned and no one can match him in his speech or knowledge of scriptures. So remember when Lord Ramchandra first met Hanuman, Ramchandra was so impressed by the way Hanuman was speaking in a very scholarly fashion. So he became very learned by the mercy of the sun god. Varuna blessed him, saying that death will never occur to him by the waters. So that's why when Hanuman was very, though Hanuman was flying over the ocean, even by chance he had gotten into the ocean by any chance, nothing would have happened to him. Yamaraj said that he will have a very long life and his danda, Yamadanda, will not harm him. And he'll be completely free from all diseases. Then Kubera said that his mace will not affect him and he will not become tired on the battlefield. That's why throughout you will see that though other Vanaras were getting tired, Hanuman will never get tired on the battlefield. Throughout the war, he was never tired. He was always there in the battlefield, always fighting. Then Lord Shankara or Lord Shiva said that he'll be immune from death by my weapons. Vishwakarma also said he will have a very long life and he'll be immune from the weapons created by Vishwakarma. So we know Hanuman is one of the Sanjeevis, right? So he's got a very, very long life. So these are all blessings that was conferred to him by the demigods. Then finally, Brahma also blessed him with a very long life and he said that he'll be immune to the weapons of Brahma. That means all the Brahmastras, the different kinds of weapons of Brahma. And he will, not only that, he will also be able to change his form at will. Remember in so many places in the Ramayana, Hanuman actually changed his form at his will. So many places we see that. And he should be able to go to all the places he desires at the speed of light. That's why Hanuman crossed the ocean. So like this, he will be able to move. And his movement will not be impeded by anyone. And he'll be more than any of these blessings. The biggest blessing that Brahma gave him is that he will be instrumental in pleasing Lord Ram and uprooting Ravana. So we see even in the battlefield, Brahmastra didn't have any effect on Hanuman. It didn't have effect on Hanuman, Jambavan and Vibhishan. Three people, it didn't have any effect. So the reason it didn't have any effect on Hanuman was because of the blessings that he had received. So Hanuman, he obtained all these wonderful boons. And little Hanuman, he was still a baby, he was very fearless. And since he had obtained all these boons, he became even more happy and even more naughty. So he began offending all the sages who were performing sacrifices. And his pranks were totally out of control, totally out of control. And being a monkey, obviously, it is even more out of control. So he provoked all the sages, and in spite of being warned by his father Kesari and also the wind god Vayudev, still he continued his mischief. So at one point, the sages, they just couldn't tolerate his disturbances. He was totally out of control, and he was disturbing the sacrifices. So they knew that he was an innocent child. But at the same time, they didn't want to be, they didn't want him to behave like that. So, they didn't want to be too harsh with him, yet they wanted to control him and teach him a lesson so that he could control himself and behave properly. So, at that time, the sages said a curse. They said, you will be unaware of your power for a very long time. Because banking on these blessings and the power that you have received from demigods, you are harassing us. You will now forget that you are so powerful And your strength will actually grow when your glory is brought back to your memory by one person. So who is that person who brings back his glories to his memory? It is Jambavan. So this happens before Hanuman crosses the ocean for the service of Lord Ram. So after this curse was given to Hanuman, he became very, very calm and he became a well-behaved child. And he did not disturb the sages after that when they were performing sacrifices. So like this, Hanuman grew up and he developed a very beautiful friendship with Sugriva, the son of the sun god. Just like how fire and wind actually have a very strong friendship. You will see fire and wind is always together. Without air or wind, the fire cannot burn. So like that, without Hanuman, Sugriva was never present. So, I mean, he could never be happy. So basically, Sugriva and Hanuman, they had a very close friendship and they were always together. So when the combat between Vali and Sugriva happened, Hanuman remained silent, not revealing his strength only because of the curse that he had received from the sages. So Hanuman was so great, not only in his strength, his valor and his speed, but also he was very great in the knowledge that he had received. So we saw how the sun god was his teacher. Hanuman was very famously known as Navavyakrana Pandita. That means he was expert in 9 systems of grammar. He was an expert in Vedic knowledge. And he was comparable only to Brihaspati in the knowledge that he had acquired. So he was an expert in all the Vedanta. So Vedanta is good. But far superior than that is Bhakti Vedanta. So we have seen in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the first canto purports, when this story of Narada is being discussed, Narada's previous birth. So there, Prabhupada, he writes in the purport about Vedantas and Bhakti Vedantas. So he says in the purport Narada, he had an opportunity to take the remnants of the Bhakti Vedantis who were there in the forest. So like that, Hanuman here, not only was he an expert in the Vedanta, but he was actually a Bhakti Vedanta. Why? Because he engaged in Bhakti. He engaged in Bhakti, which is the topmost. He engaged in Bhakti towards Lord Ram. So like this, this was the story of Hanuman. Later, when he was reminded by Jambavan, he started exhibiting his prowess. That began only after he began to serve Lord Ram. So, this was the question asked by Lord Ram about the prowess of Hanuman, and sage Agastya described the glories of Hanuman. So, while listening this beautiful story of Hanuman, Ram, Lakshman, and all the other Vanaras who were there, and the Rakshasas, headed by Vibhishan, all of them, they felt very astonished. They were so happy to hear the wonderful glories of Hanuman. So time passed, and it was almost a month since Lord Ram was coronated, and all the assembled rishis, they decided to take leave. And Ram, before the rishis went, headed by sage Agastya, he told them that now I've been installed as the emperor, and I wish to perform many sacrifices for the welfare of all my subjects. So it is my request that all of you return now, but please come back when I perform these sacrifices, because I want to perform these sacrifices under your supervision. So the sages agreed and made the case of Lord Ram. And not only the sages, since it has been almost a month and Ram had taken up his duties, the guests who had come for the coronation of Lord Ram, like Janaka, Kaikeyi's brother, the Vanaras, and so many other Rakshasas, and so many guests, so many people had come to attend the function. So one by one, all of them took leave of Ram, and they went back to take up their duties. So sometime after this incident, Ram had gotten back to ruling very nicely, and things were very nice in his kingdom. Once Bharata, he came to Ram and he began to glorify his rule in the kingdom. And he told Ram, oh my dear brother, although it has just been a little more than a month that has passed by since your coronation, there is already complete absence of disease because you're such a wonderful king. There is no disease in Ayodhya. There is no untimely death. In fact, labor pain for women has become very less. The clouds are showering rain at proper time and all the people are in a joyous state of mind. So Bharat came and gave this report. This just goes to show how important a king is. When the ruling of a king is perfect, all the subjects are happy in all aspects. And this is what is Rama Rajya. Rama was a perfect king and all the subjects were very, very happy and they didn't have any diseases and the rains were coming in proper time. There was no extremities. There was no, odd things happening, like, you know, no extreme pain or any kind of severe epidemics, nothing of that kind. Everyone was very happy. So when Ram heard this, he felt very, very happy while listening to Bharat's beautiful words. And he was very satisfied, actually, to hear the confirmation of the fact that all living entities are attaining, the death that they wanted. And ultimately, the kingdom was a God-conscious kingdom. Certainly was Ramchandra the king who was wishing well for all his subjects. But actually, we must remember that he is the Supreme Lord. And what does Krishna say in the Bhagavad Gita? Sukhrudam sarvabhutanam. He is the ever-well-wishing friend of all living entities. So he was so happy that the subjects were happy and the kingdom was God-conscious. So slowly, the winter passed and with the arrival of spring, Ram spent a lot of time with Sita in beautiful, lovely palace gardens. So during the day, Ram would carry out all the state administration with full concentration and duty. And in the evenings, he would sit with Sita under a huge Ashoka tree and they would spend a lot of time with each other. So Lord Ram, who is the Supreme Lord, and Sita, who is the goddess of fortune, like this, they passed each and every day enjoying each other's association. So time went by and one day, Ramchandra, understanding that Sita is pregnant, he became very, very happy. And Ram expressed his happiness by saying, "Oh, beautiful Sita, beautiful princess, is there any desire within your heart? Tell me, I want to fulfill it." Just like how a loving husband wants to fulfill the desires of his wife. So he asked, "Please tell me if there is something you want. You're pregnant now and I somehow want to satisfy you." So smilingly Sita replied, "Oh my dear Lord Ram, in your association actually all my desires have been completely fulfilled. But since you're asking me, I have one strong desire that I'm having. I really want to visit the ashrams of the rishis that are there along the banks of Ganga. Remember those days, those years of exile, we both were together and we enjoyed those days in the ashram of the sages, hearing wonderful wise words from them and I was in your company. It was so beautiful. I really want to go there and I want to offer my obeisances to all the sages who are living there, hear from them and get their blessings for our child." So this was the mood in which Sita was. She knew she was pregnant and she wanted the association of sages so that the child in the womb would also be blessed hearing the nice nectarian words from the sages. So when Ram heard this, he was extremely happy. He said, "Sita, very soon we'll have the opportunity to go and visit the sages in the forest and I will fulfill your desire." So this happened, and later in the day, Ram, he went to his royal assembly, and he began to pass his time by joking, having nice light conversations with his ministers and advisors. And then turning towards one of his spies by the name Bhadra, Ram had a few spies who would go into the kingdom and watch what was happening with the people, and if the people had any problems, he would come back and report the matter to Lord Ram. So, Ramchandra, he turned towards the spy called as Bhadra. And Ram asked him,
So what do the citizens talk about these days? What do they say about Sita? What do they say about Bharat? What do they say about Lakshmana and Shatrughna? So how do they feel about our mother, Kausalya? How do they feel about Kaikeyi? And what do they think about me? After all, the kings are always subject of people's criticism. Ramchandra is saying this. He's saying any leader, you know, whether he does good, he does bad, whatever he does, people are going to criticize him. He's being watched every minute. His family is being watched. His activities are being watched. His interests are being watched. The words he speaks is being watched, right, even to this day. So Ram, he asked Bhadra, so tell me, what are they talking? What's the latest news? So at that day, with folded hands, Bhadra told him, my dear Lord, everyone is praising your victory over Ravana. They consider you to be the best among all heroes. Like this, he was praising Lord Ram. And as a leader and as a king, Lord Ram just didn't want to hear praises alone. His intention, his real intention, was the satisfaction of his subjects. That was his prime duty. He was the king, and as a leader, he was ready to face criticisms and take corrective measures for the well-being of the society he was leading. That is the sign of a good leader. The sign of a good leader is that not only should he be a good ruler, but also he should be a good father. He must be ready to provide everything that the people need. So even after hearing all the praise, still Ram, he went on urging Bhadra, saying, I want you to tell me in truth what is being said. Tell me, if there is any negative feedback, tell me. Only by knowing those things, one can cut down his faults and weaknesses, and I can endeavor for self-improvement. Being the king, every minute, that should be there in my mind. If I'm going wrong anywhere, if there is some fault, I must always correct it. So he told Bhadra, there is no need to be afraid, you can be frank. Because he could see that Bhadra was trying to hide something. So Ram kept asking him, looks like you're hiding something, it's okay, you can tell me. So after hearing this, Bhadra, first of all, he bowed down before Lord Ram, and then he told Lord Ram, whether good or bad, I don't know, my lord. This is what people are saying in the marketplaces and in the city streets. Ram has performed an extraordinary feat by bridging the ocean and vanquishing the powerful Ravana. Still, has it never occurred to him that he has brought home a woman who was abducted by the Rakshasa king, who was forced to sit on his lap? Does Ram not feel disgust while enjoying a woman who remained with Ravana for almost a full year? Whatever a king does, the subjects must follow. And so now we also have to tolerate unfaithfulness from our wives. So he said this statement that was actually being told by a washerman in the streets. He had to tolerate the unfaithfulness of his wife. That's what he's saying, because the leader himself is like that. So this is the sentence that he spoke. So Bhadra said, oh my lord, so this is the word that the people are speaking in Ayodhya, especially this washerman. That's what he was indicating. Ram was shocked. He was dismayed upon hearing this. He asked all other ministers if what Bhadra had spoken was true. And they all confirmed that it was true. Yes, the washerman had started this, and this will become a rumor. People are talking. Ramchandra has accepted Sita. And Sita, she was with a Rakshasa king for a year. And he's setting an example like this. So all the women in the kingdom are also going to become like this. And all the men also have to accept this. So Ram was shocked. He was dismayed upon hearing this. And actually, Ram, he knew perfectly about Sita's complete purity and innocence. But Ram being the king and Sita being the queen, they had to make a decision for the well-being of society. With power comes responsibility. So leadership is not a post to enjoy. If that is our idea, then a leader will be very exploitive.
he'll be a very exploitative person and he'll be a miserable leader. Leadership is very serious, significant responsibility of service to others. A real leader is in a spirit of service. Taking responsibility of other means to be selfless. We have to put aside our own well-being and desires as secondary and to think primarily of what is best for the people around us who are looking up to us is most important. So that is leadership. Leadership means responsibility. And what is responsibility? Responsibility means making sacrifices. And what happens when you make sacrifices? It means you're going to cry a lot. So this is the theme underlying the Ramayana, the theme of leadership that leads to responsibility, in turn leads to sacrifices. In turn, these sacrifices ended up in a lot of crying of both Ram and Sita. So after all, the mood is Shoka, right, of Ramayana. It is full of sadness. So then Ram, he called for Lakshman. He said, Lakshmana, what I have to say is actually going to be very painful. First of all, I am very pained. And I know whatever I am going to say is going to be very painful to you also. But please listen to me with great care and attention. I just learned that some of my citizens are criticizing me for bringing back Sita from Lanka, and I feel very miserable. I've appeared in this royal Ikshvaku dynasty. I'd rather die than have this blame for our entire dynasty. After killing Ravana, I was so fearful about the people, how they would receive Sita. I wanted to protect Sita. I am completely convinced of her purity. I know who Sita is. She's my life and soul. But I was worried about these people, how they would receive Sita. So, unfortunately, I had to make Sita enter into fire in the presence of all the demigods and rishis. And at that time, Vayu and Agni, they came in person and they declared that Sita was pure. And within my own heart, I know how chaste she is. And only after all this drama, I accepted Sita, hoping that the citizens will also accept her. But now, the rumors are being spread everywhere and both of us are being blamed for this. Lakshman, as long as one's conduct is the subject of rumors, he has to suffer great humiliation and defamation again and again and again. I'm now ready to give up my life even if it is necessary. In fact, I feel like I'm drowning in an ocean of sorrow. I've never experienced such a horrible misfortune before. So with a very, very heavy heart, Ram told Lakshman, tomorrow at dawn, please take Sita to the banks of the river Ganga. Give her a tour of all the ashrams of the great rishis. And then, when you come to Valmiki's ashram, which is on the banks of river Tamasa, I want you to leave her under the care of Valmiki Rishi and come back to Ayodhya alone. Then he looked at Lakshmana very sternly and he told him, you must carry out my order. Don't argue with me. Even if you show a little hesitation, it will make me very unhappy. Just a little while ago, Sita told me that she wants to visit all the ashrams on the bank of the river Ganga. So now go and fulfill her desire. She's pregnant. Go and fulfill her desire. Lakshmana was shocked. He was so broken-hearted when he heard Ram speaking like this. Ram was speaking in a choked voice. He didn't know what to do. Lakshmana didn't know what to do. But since he was a very obedient servant of his elder brother, he immediately said yes without any hesitation. And he walked away to go and bring Sita. Now a question can be raised. Why couldn't Ram give up the post of a king? Was he so selfish that he wanted the power? He could have given up the post of a king, right? And just lived with Sita again in the forest. Actually, none of his brothers would have accepted the kingdom in his place and ruled the kingdom. Lakshmana, remember, we saw during the coronation of Lord Ram, he was offered the post of the prince or the crown prince, you know, the prince after Ram. But Lakshman refused it right there. He told him, no, no, this is not my duty. My duty is always to be your servant, be at your lotus feet. That is all I am. That is all Lakshman is. And he wouldn't take up a kingdom. He wouldn't even become the prince. What to talk about taking up a kingdom? And there was no choice for Bharata also. Because Bharata, he already faced enough, you know, during the time of exile. He was living elsewhere and he was being blamed for everything from the beginning. Bharat was being blamed for every damn thing that happened. So it will be very unfair if Ram said, okay, Bharata, now you rule, then the whole history will repeat. So Bharata was out of question. Shatrughna, he was dedicated to the service of Bharata. He was not even involved in the direct service of Lord Ram. That was his mood. It was very difficult to convince Shatrughna. So basically, Ram was completely responsible at this point. He had taken up leadership. Okay, he was a Kshatriya. He had vowed to protect the citizens and the kingdom, and there was no way that he could abandon his duties. So besides this, there are many stories as to why Sita was put into this condition. In the Hari Bhakti Vilas, it is mentioned, from the Hari Bhakti Vilas 212-214, we find a reason why Sita was separated from her husband, Lord Ramachandra. So I'll read this for you. Once Lord Ramachandra's wife, Sita Devi, asked, I am neither independent nor unchaste. Moreover, I have not committed a sinful activity in this life. What sin did I commit in my previous birth so that I am now separated from my husband and I had to live in exile? So when Valmiki heard these words of Sita, he replied, you had previously fasted on an Ekadasi that was mixed with Dashami and you had worshipped Lord Janardhan. As a result of this indiscretion, you were put into this situation. So one may argue, Sita is the eternal consort of Ram. So where is the question of previous life? But time and again, we see that sometimes plenary expansions or jivas who have performed very extreme austerities actually merge with the actual eternal associate of the Lord to enjoy pastimes with the Lord. So this is something to do with the past birth that was brought up in Hari Bhakti Vilas. And also, Ram and Sita, they were playing the roles of ordinary human beings. That was the role that they had taken up. So this is how it is explained in Hari Bhakti Vilas. Now, in the Padma Purana, there is another story where a pair of parrots, both male and female, they were reciting the story of Ram and Sita. So when Sita was a small girl before marriage, she happened to hear this from the parrots and she was very curious about what the parrots had to say about her life. So she captured the parrot, and at that time, the female parrot was pregnant. She refused to let the female parrot go, but she released the male parrot. And at that time, the female parrot was feeling very heavy separation from her husband because she was also pregnant. And she requested Sita to again and again leave her, but Sita was so captivated by the beauty of these parrots and what they were talking, Sita kept the parrot, female parrot with her. So in deep separation, this female parrot was about to give up her life. And at that time, she cursed that Sita would have the same fate as her. In the sense, Sita would be pregnant and she would be separated from her husband. And the male parrot apparently committed suicide by drowning into the waters. And he was reborn as the washerman was responsible for Sita's condition. So these are some stories that explain Sita's condition as to why she had to undergo this. And these are from different Puranas and other Shastras. Now, besides that, Ram, he was in a very important dilemma in his life and he had to take a decision. But irrespective of what decision he had taken, some people would have been happy and some would have been upset. So there is no black or white here. There ought to be some kind of compromise in the decision that he had to take. A country where a leader cries, the citizens are happy. And a country where people cry, the leader is happy. Anyhow, a leader is criticized heavily for whatever he does. Even if he had gone away with his wife, he would have been criticized for leaving all the subjects behind. So this is a kind of a dilemma. You know, we say dharma sankata. That means you don't know. Dharma is very complicated. You don't know which side to take. And whatever you do, you're anyhow going to be criticized. So at that time, Ram had to take a decision. So that was the decision that he took based on several circumstances. So early next morning, Lakshmana, he went to Sita and he said, your husband has ordered me to fulfill your desire. I heard you had a desire that you wanted to meet all the rishis, the ashram of all the rishis. So I will take you to the banks of Ganga and you can go and worship all the rishis who are residing there. And Sumantra, who is the charioteer, he got ready with his chariot, and Lakshmana requested Sita to come with him. So when Sita heard this, innocent, right, she doesn't know all this. She was very, very happy and delighted. So she put on some very nice garments and some very nice jewelry. And she was so happy, she went and told Lakshman, see, I'm going to wear all these jewels and this costly garments because I want to go and give these jewels as gifts to all the wives of the sages. So like that, Sita was planning what gift to give to which wife of the sage. And she was all excited and she was ready. Then she came out of her palace and Lakshman helped her to get onto the chariot and they quickly went. So as they proceeded, Sita said, you know, as they were going in the chariot, suddenly Sita, she was feeling all kinds of omens. So she was telling Lakshmana, my right eye has begun to twitch. Remember, left eye for a woman, when it twitches, it is auspicious. We saw this in the previous sections of the Ramayana. When Sita was about to see Hanuman, she was getting all these symptoms. Right? Like that, so many things. So many we have seen, different omens. So Sita's right eye began to twitch. And she said, my mind is feeling somewhat uneasy. I feel very weak. Everything seems to be very gloomy to me. And then immediately her thought is, not even what is going to happen to me. She's thinking, I hope Ram is all right. Even at that time, she was thinking of Ram. So Sita, when she was feeling something uncomfortable, you know, some bad omens, she started offering prayers to all the demigods for the welfare of her husband and their relatives. And when Sita was saying all this, Lakshmana, he didn't know how to reply. In a choked voice, he told Sita with eyes full of tears, he said, actually, I hope that you don't meet any misfortune. You are praying for Ram and his relatives, but rather I am praying for you, he says that. But anyway, by evening, they drive along and Sita, Lakshmana and Sumantra, they come to river Gomati and they spend the night there. And early next morning, they continued their journey. And by afternoon, they came to the river Ganga. So after getting off the chariot, Lakshman, he couldn't control himself anymore. He just broke down and he started crying. He just couldn't contain his grief. But when he started crying like this, he just fell down on the ground and he started crying. And when he was crying like this, Sita, she was very concerned. She looked at Lakshman and she asked him, hey, Lakshmana, what is wrong? I thought we had reached our destination and we should all be very happy. We are going to go and meet the sages. Why are you so sad? You're making me feel so uneasy. Just 2 days of separation from Ram has given you so much sadness. Even I love Ram very dearly, but I am not disturbed like you. Lakshman, control. Please compose yourself. We have to cross the Ganga so that we can meet the rishis. After that, we'll quickly go back to Ayodhya. Even I miss Ram very much. We'll surely go back soon. Don't cry in separation from Ram. So like this, Sita was consoling Lakshmana. Now, after wiping the tears from his eyes, Lakshmana, he arranged for a boat and he escorted Sita again across the Ganga. And when they reached the other side, Lakshmana finally, with tears in his eyes, he confessed. He told her the truth. He told, Vaidehi, the all-good Ram has entrusted me with a very painful task. And by performing this duty, I will become so infamous in the eyes of the world. It would have been even better if I died than execute this order of your husband. Oh dear Sita, oh my dear mother, please forgive me for what I'm going to do now. After saying this, Lakshman fell on the ground and he began to weep and weep. He couldn't even talk. And Sita was getting agitated. She didn't understand anything. She was telling Lakshmana, what's happened to you? What's the matter? I just don't understand what you're saying. So tell me clearly what's troubling you. Is there something that has happened to Lord Ram? Is some misfortune befallen him?
and you don't have the courage to tell me the truth. So at that time, Lakshmana stood up and with his head bowed down, he replied in a very faltering voice. He said, while sitting in the royal court, Rama, he learned the different rumors that are being circulated throughout Ayodhya. The rumors are accusing both of you. Everywhere people blame Ram for having accepted you back and hence setting a wrong example. Sita, I know that you are faultless and so does Ram. Both of us know. We know what all happened. We know that you are faultless. So please don't misunderstand your husband. He's being forced to do this in order to maintain the name of the Ikshvaku dynasty. He's only doing this to protect the name of the dynasty and maintain proper order in society and protect the subjects. My dear princess, please don't be heartbroken. You have to be here. And the abodes of the Brahma Rishis are situated on the banks of the river Ganga and they're very beautiful. Please take shelter of the sage Valmiki. He's been a very good friend of your father-in-law, Maharaj Dasharath. He will give you complete protection. Always think of Ram within your heart. Remain devoted to him. In this way, you will always be happy and there's no doubt. I have to return, but you have to remain here. Upon hearing this, Sita just fainted onto the ground. She just couldn't believe anything. And then she came to her senses and she cried out. She said, what did I do in my previous life to undergo all this suffering? What sin did I commit in the past? Whose marriage did I obstruct? What kind of sin did I do? Ram is casting off me. I faithfully followed my husband into exile. I remained content despite of all the hardships in the forest. Lakshman, how will I be able to survive here alone without Ram? What will I tell the rishis when they ask me why I've been left by my husband? What wrong did I do? Should I actually, you know, enter the river Ganga and give up my life? No, I can't even do that because I'm pregnant. I have the descendant of Ram's dynasty. I have the next descendant of the Ikshvaku dynasty in my womb. How can I go and suicide? What kind of faith is this? So in the Ramayana, Sita, if you see, she had two sons, Lavakusha, and she raised the children in a very beautiful fashion. If she really had hatred towards her husband, okay, in this whole process, she would have completely poisoned her children against her father, against their father. But they grew up, Lavakusha, they grew up reciting the Ramayana. They had complete respect for Ram. Okay, this was Sita's mood. Okay, she never had hatred towards Ram for what had happened because she understood. Okay? She made sure that her children never hate Lord Ram. Sita was simultaneously a wife and a queen. As a wife, she was hurt. But as a queen, she completely understood the decision of Ram and she never instilled hatred in her children. Because she understood the responsibilities of a king and a queen. So, not only was Sita a wife, she was also a queen. She understood both angles. She was completely convinced at the end of it. Though she felt bad, because she is the wife, it's something very personal, right? You feel very bad. She felt miserable, but still she could understand beyond that. So, doing good need not always be doing something pleasurable for the person, you know, for the person who's sacrificing. The person who's trying to do good has to undergo certain sacrifices for the comfort of others. So, leadership is not easy unless we are ready to take on discomfort for the pleasure of others. This is something that the pastime of Ram and Sita can teach us about how to be a good leader. So, finally, after becoming somewhat composed, Sita told Lakshman, I know, Lakshmana, that you're actually just carrying out your duty and I don't blame you. So go back to Ayodhya, offer my respects to my mothers-in-law, touch the feet of my husband and tell him this. Tell him my message. O Ram, you know that my devotion has always been fixed upon you without any deviation. You know my chastity and my unfailing love. But today, I am separated from you. My dear husband, I don't actually grieve so much for myself. I'm not worried so much about myself. I know I am faultless, and I know you know that I am faultless. I am a chaste woman, and for me, my husband is everything. Therefore, I accept your order. Your order is for my welfare, even if it means that I should give up my life. So she asked Lakshman to give this message to Lord Ram. And Lakshman circumambulated Sita, and he got into the boat. And after reaching the other side, he mounted upon the chariot. Then Lakshman set out for Ayodhya with his head turned towards Sita to have the final glimpse of Sita. And Sita also very sorrowfully, she gazed at Lakshman as his chariot moved off. She was feeling miserable. She was feeling horrible. She was being abandoned. She was being all alone, unprotected. And she gave a full vent out of her grief by falling onto the ground, and she was sobbing uncontrollably. She just didn't know what to do. She was so helpless. So Lakshmana and Sumantra, they started riding back to Ayodhya. Lakshmana was also very miserable. He looked at Sumantra, the charioteer, and he told, what terrible pain Ram and Sita have to suffer. Ram has abandoned his dear wife. It seems that this Ram, who is the great destroyer of Rakshasas, is controlled by destiny. What is this? I'm so sure of the sorrow that Ram is going to feel now is going to be more than he went to exile, or it will be more than anything else that he has felt so far. Because he's so attached to Sita, how is he going to live without Sita? So at that time, Sumantra, he explained to Lakshmana. This is important, please listen. This is again from the Uttarakhanda. Lakshmana, he said, don't be so aggrieved. These are the words of Sumantra, the charioteer, who was also the charioteer of Dasharath. So he knows everything. Okay. So he told Lakshmana, please don't be aggrieved, seeing the fate of Sita and Ram. Whatever has happened was already foretold by the astrologers to your father. Your father is already aware of this. Even I am aware of this. We all know this is what would happen. Long time ago, sage Durvasa had come to spend time, the Chaturmasya time, with sage Vasishta. At that time, your father visited sage Durvasa, who was living with Vasishta, and he inquired from him about the well-being of your family. So Dashrath asked sage Durvasa about when Ram becomes a king, how his life would be, how long he would live, and how he would rule. At that time, sage Durvasa said that long time ago, Durvasa is saying the story. He said long time ago, when the sons of Diti, who are the Daityas, they were conquered by the demigods. There was a big fight between the Devas and the Asuras. And at that time, the Daityas, or the sons of Diti, they went and sought refuge at the hermitage of Bhrigu, and the wife of Bhrigu, she gave them shelter. Okay, so basically, the wife of Bhrigu was supplying some materials for the demons, and the demons were getting stronger. Okay, and she was getting out of control, and at that time, Lord Vishnu killed her with his discus. So remember, we had seen the story even in the Balakanda. I don't know if you remember, it's been more than a year. But we had seen the story in the Balakanda about how Vishnu actually cut off her head. Who's the first demoness Ram killed? Anyone can answer? I'm blank. Mataji, repeat again. Who's that?
Repeat again, Mataji.
Oh, I asked who was the demoness that Ram killed in the forest. Okay, it's okay.
Trijita. Trijita, right? No. My God. Taduka.
Sadaka, yeah, you're right. I'm so sorry, I totally forgot. Okay, anyway, so before he killed Tataka, at that time, who's that? Vasishta, he gives an example from the past. okay, of killing women. So at that time, he gives this example of Vishnu killing the wife of Bhrigu. So basically, what's happening here is Durvasa is telling them that long time ago, when the Daityas were conquered by the demigods, the Daityas, they sought refuge at the hermitage of Bhrigu, and the wife of Bhrigu gave them shelter and supplied them with good materials. However, Vishnu killed her with his discus. So after she was killed, Bhrigu felt very bad and he cursed the Lord that he will have to take birth as a human being and undergo all the sufferings, and he will also be separated from his spouse for several years and undergo the same suffering that he is undergoing. So Lord Vishnu, of course, he is the Supreme Lord. He is not bound by any curse. He is the Paramatma in everyone's heart. Yet, to honor the words of a great Brahmana, he accepts the curse willingly. So after he accepted the curse, Bhrigu repented for what he did. But then the Lord said, for the welfare of the world, he will surely incarnate and he will accept the curse when he incarnates. So this is explained in the Uttarakhanda, giving reasons why this pastime had to happen. And this pastime is being narrated by Sumantara on their way back to Lakshmana. Okay? Then Durvasa said that Lord Ram, as a result of this curse, this is like the foretelling, right? Durvasa is foretelling what will happen, and he is foretelling to Dasharath and Sumantra, past tense. So at this time, Durvasa told Ram that as a result of this curse, he will be separated from his wife, and his wife Sita will be abandoned. Ram will live for 11,000 years. He will perform many sacrifices, and he will have two sons from Sita. So this story was told to Lakshmana, and Lakshmana was a bit relieved. And after spending the night on the banks of the river, they resumed their journey next morning. So, and they went back to Ayodhya. So meanwhile, we left Sita crying there in the forest. So while Sita was wailing like this and crying, some of Valmiki's disciples, they happened to see Sita weeping like this. And they ran to their guru and they told their guru, please come here quickly. There is a woman who looks exactly like the goddess of fortune. And she's sitting alone and she's crying so miserably. So by the dint of his mystic power, Valmiki could understand everything. He rushed to the spot where Sita was crying. And he humbly approached her. And Valmiki identified her. And he told her, O devoted wife of Ram, I know you are the daughter of Maharaj Janaka, and by the strength of my austerities, I know what all happened and why you are here. So please don't be afraid. You are here in the right place. My ashram is nearby, and there are many female ascetics who reside there, and they will take care of you very nicely. So my dear daughter, please come with me and consider this to be your new home. So like this, Valmiki took Sita and placed her under his care, under the care of the other lady ascetics who were living there. So meanwhile, after arriving at Ayodhya, Lakshman, he went to the royal palace and he saw Ram. Ram was sitting in a very terrible condition. His mind was distracted. He was crying and crying and crying, and he was totally absorbed in the thoughts of Sita. So about when Lakshman saw this condition of Ram, he also started crying. And after bowing down, Lakshman said, my dear brother, in accordance with your order, I went and abandoned Sita on the banks of River Ganga near Valmiki Ashram. But my dear brother, don't cry like this. You have to compose yourself. After all, in this world, meeting and separation are common. We meet, we separate. This is the law of the world. It is inevitable that one's wife, one's son, one's very life must be given up someday. So please develop detachment. Lakshmana told this to Ram. He said, my dear brother, you have unlimited prowess. You know, you are so powerful. You can control the three worlds. Why can't you control the sadness and suppress it? So cast off your weakness. Otherwise, more and more rumors will circulate about you. Already there are enough rumors. Now you are going to create more rumors if you sit like this dejected. People will make up more stories about you. So another aspect of this entire Leela is Vipralamba, love and separation. This is sweeter and more intense than Sambhoga or union. It is often compared to like a hot sugar candy. It is very, very hot, yet it is very sweet. That is the feeling of Vipralamba. Now, Ram and Sita in this period, they relished Vipralamba for the rest of the years. After all, we must understand we are the Supreme and this is the Supreme Lord's consort and all this is only Leela. In the spiritual world, there is no separation of Ram and Sita. So all this happens only in the material world and in this period, they experience the state of Vipralamba. So Ram became pacified by Lakshman's word and he gradually gave up his grief. And then he told Lakshman, "My dear Lakshmana, for the last few days, I've completely neglected all my duties and I've given up all this, my dear wife, only for this duty. So now summon the ministers and the priests and let's get back to business. Let's continue to rule." And then Ram took up his administration and he continued. We'll stop here and we'll see what happened for the rest of the years and later how Sita entered the earth and we'll hear the Palastuti in the next class. So I'll stop here. I know this is a controversial subject in the sense people have a lot of questions. So I want to give some references for whatever I have said with respect to not only the storyline but also the understanding of this Leela. I should thank, of course, my Guru Maharaj, Swarna Radhana Swami Maharaj, Shubha Vilas Prabhu, and then Purna Pragna Das for the beautiful compilation of the Uttarakhanda. And then also, I think I took some notes from Shyam Sundar Prabhu's website regarding the quotes from Hari Bhakti Vilas and Padma Purana. So, and also lectures from many other Guru Vargas. So if you have any questions, comments, realizations, please share. Thank you so much for listening. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much. Very, very nice nectarian recitation and explanation and also your realizations. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Kamodaki Mataji. Thank you so much for being there with us. Hare Krishna. Kirtita Mataji.
Yeah, Hare Krishna Mataji. Thank you so much for this beautiful, beautiful class. It was really a very, very controversial topic, but you said it very, very, very nicely. So thank you so much for taking up all these efforts and, you know, putting them in a proper presentation way, and the way you spoke, it's marvelous. Mataji, one thing I think, so I missed it, regarding Sita, Mother Sita suffering. You quoted something from Hari Bhakti Vilas that she fasted on Ekadashi day. Like, what's that?
Yeah, it was Mishra Ekadashi. It was Ekadashi mixed with Dwadashi. She observed the austerities on that day. So generally on Mishra Ekadashi, we don't observe. That's why we do it on Dwadashi, the next day. So it is considered, actually according to scripture, it is considered sinful to do that. That's what the Hari Bhakti Vilas and other scriptures say. Even the Ekadashi Mahatmya says that.
So that's why whenever there is a mixture of Ekadashi and Dwadashi, we keep normally Dwadashi, right?
Yeah, yes, Mataji. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much for your kind words and encouragement, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. And another thing, Mataji, you started the class with the glories of Hanuman. So, while glorifying, you didn't mention that finally Hanuman, he
was smiling. I made a mistake. I realized that. I said Hanuman was smiling the arms, but actually he was unconscious, so he was not smiling. I made a mistake when I was talking. Is that what you found out? No?
No, I couldn't get it, Mataji. Sorry. Can you say it again?
No, when I was saying the story, in a flow, I said Hanuman was smiling in the arms of Vayu, but actually he was unconscious, so he couldn't have smiled. That was just a flow of words.
No, that's such a small thing, you know. It was in a flow. Okay. That's not a thing. But in Hanuman, it is said that he swallowed that sun. But in your story, you didn't. Yeah. There is a, in Hanuman Ashtakam, when you say, because to the side, so it says, Bala Same Ravi Bhakshali Yojav Tiho Lok Bhayo Andhiyaro. Means in the childhood times, he ate that Ravi, and that's why the three loks, the three worlds, they were all in darkness.
Oh, wow. Okay, maybe. Of course, there are different versions. Here in the Uttarakhand, it just says he was trying to swallow, but he couldn't actually. But Mataji, of course, Kalpabeda is there in different times. There are different retellings of the same story. So maybe in one time he did swallow it. Yeah. So as far as the Uttarakhanda story goes, there is only so much that he was stopped, and of course he was hit by the Vajrayuda and he fell down.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Mata. We really indebted to you. The way you transport us to Dham, you know, it's so beautiful. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Mataji, for everything. Thank you so much for everything, for encouraging. And all of you on the call, for listening so patiently. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hari Hari Bol, Koti Koti Dandavat Pranam Vilasini Gopi. You take us in a dham, Mataji. We feel like we are that before 5,000 years, and we are just here listening. We are watching all the Leelas, Mataji, because you are so pure. And our grandma and grandma, dad is, every night they are explaining a story from Ramayana. So you rememberize all these things and how nicely you narrating. Koti Koti Dandvat Pranam to your Seva Dandvat, all Goshila Prabhupada and Gurudev.
Thank you so much, Vrinda Gopika Mataji. It is your purity of listening. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji. I missed 5-10 minutes in the beginning, but my question was, you said the name Hanuman was given after his chin was hurt. So what was his name before?
So nice question. And... yeah, so one name was Anjaneya because he was the son of Anjana. And many of the Acharyas, they say that his name was Sundara. That's why it's called a Sundarakanda. Okay, the middle section is called a Sundarakanda, especially when Hanuman appears. So one of the names that Lord Hanuman is known as is one popularly accepted name is Sundara. But other than that, his name is Anjaneya. But he was given the name Hanuman only after his chin was broken.
Okay. Thank you, Mataji.
But of course, he's got so many other names based on the feats that he performed.
Yeah. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Priti Vilasini, Mataji. Hare Krishna, Mataji. This is Rajeshwari Priya, Mataji, from Atlanta.
Hare Bol.
Hare Bol, Mataji. Mataji, you were narrating this pastime so beautifully. You know, I only caught the tail end of it. I probably logged in around 11:45, and at that time, you were right at the climax of explaining, you know, Lakshmana, you know, how sad he is, and he's just crying. That brought tears to my eyes. The intensity with which you were explaining, I could really just get transported over there, although I didn't hear the first 45 minutes of the class. So very thankful to you, Mataji.
Thank you so much.
I just wanted to know, your knowledge is so vast. Like, you grew up reading the Ramayana, Mataji. I'm just curious. Like, you narrated so beautifully. Like you are there. You would read
Ramayana.
Mataji, I just have these summary books and the lectures of our Guru Argas and of course, even the translations are available. So I just put them together and compile them. That's all, Mataji.
But you have a special flair for, you know, narrating Ramayana, you observe. So I was just curious.
Actually, Mataji, I should admit this is the first time I have not read Ramayana before, in the sense I just knew the story. But always, as we all are, of course, Krishna Bhakti is the main thing.
I had never focused on Lord Ram before. So I thought this is something that was pending for a very long time in my life. I really wanted to do the Ramayana in depth. I tried many times to be, I'm just telling you my experience. I'm just trying to be a little open here. I tried, listening to Lord Ram's stories right from 2010, but somehow I would never proceed. I would never proceed beyond the point, and then I would give up. So then I was thinking someday maybe I should really sit with Ramayana and do it in depth and understand, because Krishna is very interesting, Mataji. Krishna was so attractive. For me, Lord Ramchandra was very difficult initially. But then I thought it is very important to know about the Lord, you know, in his different forms and precious pastimes. So it was a long pending task that I wanted to do. And thanks to the devotees, actually, the devotees on this call, they were the ones who told me when I just did once the Balakanda. At that time, I wanted someone, the Kirtida Mataji, to actually give the class. It was on a Ramayana, I mean, it was on a, what is that, Ram Navami Day. This was like last year, or yeah, Ram Navami Day when the Balakanda we first did. I really wanted someone who had read the Ramayana from childhood to give the class, but there was no one apparently that day, and I ended up preparing just for the Balakanda that day. And it was my first experience of Ramkatha, and I was thinking this is actually so wonderful. And at the end of the class, all the Matajis on the call, they told that you should, many Matajis, they told that you should do the entire series. They said in 4-5 days. I thought, okay, 4-5 days. But then it never happened in 4-5 days because there was so much nectar. So it ended up being more than a year. So I thought, when I started, I thought, first I'll finish in 4-5 days. Then I thought, okay, let me finish it in 1 year. By the next Rama Navami, I will finish it. But by the next Rama Navami, I only finished till Yuddhakanda end. So I had Uttarakanda, and I was debating whether I should do Uttarakanda or not, because generally it is not spoken very openly. Then I asked a lot of the devotees who are also there on the call whether I should do it or not, and everyone said no, it should be done. And then we asked Bhakti Sundar Maharaj, one devotee asked Bhakti Sundar Maharaj for approval, because generally these are very sensitive subjects. So he also gave approval, and then we did. And it's all the mercy of our Guru Vargas, Mataji. All our Guru Vargas are very, very merciful, because we have given so much, and we are just trying to repeat. So I am so thankful to the Vaishnavas, all of you, and also our Guru Vargas for helping me with this. Thank you, Mataji. And it has been a great experience. Of course, Lord Ramchandra is very, very compassionate, very, very merciful. Lakshmana is so merciful. Hanuman is so merciful. So it has been very nice. Sita Devi is so merciful.
Very nice, Mataji. Because, you know, generally, you know, we read Krishna book, we read Bhagavatam, we read Gita. You know, my knowledge, at least I can speak for me personally, you know, my knowledge of Ramayana is not that great, except, you know, the series, the TV series, and I still keep watching that time to time. But that is the only knowledge of Ramayana that I have. And, you know, you explain the utmost depth and details of it. And so I wanted to ask you, thank you very much, Mataji, for sharing.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Very, very humble. Thank you so much.
You are working hard with Vidyasini. We know every one lecture, maybe you are working from 2 to 3 weekends because of hard work, because of Srila Prabhupada and Srila Gurudev Murthy, and all Vaishnava blessings. You are narrating like we feel that Leela, that much potency. Hari Bol, Priti Virasini Gopi, Koti Koti Dandat Pranam.
Hari Bol Mataji, that's true, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much.
Oh, no, no, that is not my meaning. Your hard work.
No, no, no. I know what you're meaning, but I am. No, I got it. I understood what you meant, but I am also saying all glories to Prabhupada. Okay. Anyone else has any comments or questions? Okay. So we'll end the call. Thank you all so much. Thank you so much again. Vancha kalpataru deshche kripa sindhu bhi vacha patita nam bhavane bhi vaishnavedyo namo namaha. Ananda Koti Vaishnav Vrinda ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Valmiki Ramayana ki jai. All glories to the Supreme Gopi. Hare Krishna. Jai.
Hare Krishna.
Hare
Thank
Hare
you Hare very Bodhi. Much. Dandavat
Pranam. Dandavat.
Kriti Vilasini Mataji ki jai.
Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnav Vrinda ki jai.